When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome in to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Zach, and I have a special treat for you today, as my guest is Ryan Dobson. Ryan is a speaker, author, and podcast host known for his work in Christian ministry and family advocacy. A graduate of Biola University, he's the son of Dr. James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family. Ryan co-founded Rebel Parenting, an organization dedicated to strengthening marriages and families through biblical principles. He's written books on faith, parenting, and culture, emphasizing resilience and Christian values in modern society. A dynamic communicator, he speaks at conferences and churches nationwide. His work blends humor, personal experience, and practical wisdom to help families navigate contemporary challenges with faith and purpose. He's married to his lovely wife, Laura, and together they raise two beautiful kids, Lincoln and Lucy. Welcome to the show, Mr. Ryan.
Oh, that was a very kind intro. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm looking forward to this conversation because, as I alluded to up front before we pressed record, there's no question that my dad and your dad have a rich history together,
totally.
Both of them serving as really pioneering leaders in this Christian counseling, marriage, and family movement and space, as well as co-hosting your dad's Family Talk radio show for around 7 years together. The Clintons love the Dobsons. Let me say that up front.
You.
But hey, man, I'm interested just up front. I obviously know what my experience was like being raised underneath my dad and his leadership and guidance, but what was it like growing up Dobson for you, Ryan?
It's like being the ultimate PK. It's like being the ultimate pastor's kid, except 300 million people listen to your pastor. In the late 80s, mid 90s, my dad was reaching 300 million people a week. So about every 16 weeks, that was the population of the world. Usually I give qualifier statements, you know, things like that. It was overwhelming at times. It was super, super overwhelming at times. I didn't know we were famous. I didn't know my parents were famous. I didn't know my dad was famous. I knew he wrote books. I knew he spoke, but it was his job, right? Like my friend Craig, his dad was a plumber. That was his job. My friend Mark's dad was a contractor. That was his job. My dad spoke and wrote books. That was his job. You don't think about anything beyond your dad just works. And then I think it was the fifth or sixth grade, we had a substitute teacher and she was taking roll, and she said, Ryan Dobson. And I said, here. And she goes, oh, like Dr. Dobson. And I go, yeah, that's my dad. And she goes, oh, honey, I know you wish he was. Why would I wish that was my dad? What a strange thing to say. Why do you know who my dad is? And before those thoughts could even clear my brain, all my classmates are like, no, no, that's his dad. That's his dad. That's it. And I'm like, what?
Right.
Why does everybody know who my parents are? It was very unusual. You understand that. And I don't, this is not a pity party thing. It's just something that PKs or kids of famous people get. The next day she brought in a stack of my dad's books for me to bring home for him to autograph for her so I could bring it back to her at school.
Oh my goodness.
And if I'll be honest, it just felt weird.
Yeah.
I don't think it was inappropriate. I don't know. I was sixth grader. Who knows? That was my first introduction to everybody knows who your parents are. That was a shock. And then it was, you know, he would talk about something on the radio and people would think he was doing live radio every single day. So I'd have teachers come up and ask me questions about what he was talking about that morning. And I'd look at them like, one, I don't know what you're talking about. Two, I don't listen to a program on marriage and parenting in the sixth grade. Like, I'm not the demographic. And I also didn't know, you know, he was telling stories that had happened, you know, years ago or, you know, things like he had told a story when he was a teacher, he had been playing tetherball and a kid hit the ball so hard. And when he turned around, it hit him in the face and broke his nose. And apparently he had told that on the radio one morning. And I had a lot of teachers concertedly ask me, you know, how's your dad? How's his nose? And I'm like, it looked okay this morning, you know? So that was the beginning. And then here's the truth. It's the expectations, right? My dad is who he is. He's a great man. He's done a lot of great things. I'm not a younger, smaller version of him.
Yes.
And as I'm sure you've gotten, I don't know why, but most people just expect you to be a smaller, younger version of your parent if your parent is famous. Anybody else, they don't expect it from. And, you know, I grew up in Southern California. I was a skateboarder. I have tattoos. I don't look like what a lot of people are expecting if you see me, you know, out of work hours or work clothes. So
Right. There
was a whole lot of, oh, you're not what I was expecting, which was never really said in a positive way. It is now. Right. I get that a lot. Like, oh my goodness. Wow. You're so vulnerable. You're so honest. And it's like, I hope most people are honest, but
right.
You know, and then honestly, the hardest, this is, it sounds like a pity party. I don't know if I should stay or not. When I went to college for the first time, great college. I've been back to do chapels. Love everybody there. But it was in the Midwest. And in 1989, in the Midwest, it was Jesus Christ and James Dobson, and sometimes not in that order.
Right.
And
right.
I went to school 3,000 miles away. I went from California to Illinois, and legitimately, this sounds crazy, but it felt like being one of the Beatles. Like, I would see, you know, you're at college, and there's a group of people in a group talking, hanging out, doing nothing, just chilling, and I would see somebody I know, and I'd stroll over and kind of like get into the group next to my friend, and I'd have two girls go, and scream, there he is, and then run away. So that happened a bunch. It was weird. Like, it was very, and here's the other part too. In Southern California, it's really big, right? Like, I grew up, when I went to college, I went to college with Josh McDowell's son, Sean, and Lee Strobel's son, Kyle, and Rick Warren's daughter, Amy, like, and Nikki Cruz's daughter, Elena. I mean, there's lots of famous people. And growing up, all my friends knew me before my parents became famous, so they never changed. It wasn't anything to them. Like, they'd been to my house a million times. They had funny stories about that. You know, they'd be like, oh, you were the Dobsons. What was it like? Mm. And I remember my friend Chad was like, I saw him make a can of soup last weekend. Like, I don't know what you're expecting.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm your host today, Zach Clinton, and my guest is none other than Ryan Dobson. Yes, that Dobson. He's the son of Dr. James Dobson, and we're talking all things faith and family, as well as a life he's lived in service to bring people closer to Jesus, just as his parents brought him closer to the Lord.
So college was tough. I didn't handle the first college situation very well. I probably struggled a lot in my first college. Took some time off, went to a camp my parents had sent me to when I was 17 called Summit. It's here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If any parent ever listens to this, seriously, I don't know if there's anything aside from Jesus I would recommend more for your child than Summit. It radically transformed my life. My parents couldn't believe it. I wasn't a bad kid. I just was a kid, right? I couldn't see beyond the end of my nose. I had friends. I rode a skateboard. That was it. But when you grow up with someone as famous as my dad, you just kind of assume there's only one star in the family, right? Like, that's just, no one ever said that. No one ever implied it. They didn't, you know, it wasn't like a thing, but it's just the assumption, right? Like,
yeah.
And I went to Summit when I was 17, and Dr. David Noble was the president. Dr. Jeff Myers is the president now. He is brilliant. He's so smart. He is so good with kids. I sent my son there when he was 15. He hated it. He hated it. I don't regret it at all. I don't regret it at all. He asked if he could run away. I ran away my first night. I got caught. I was terrible. He hated it. He talked about going back again like a week and a half ago. I was like trying not to make a face because he didn't. It was life-changing. It was radically life-changing. They told me that I had a purpose, that God had a purpose for my life, that I was special, that God had a plan for me, specifically for me, and that I could make a difference in the world. And I don't know, man, I left there believing it with all my heart. Everything I have ever done that's positive or within ministry. And so I took a year off and moved to Colorado Springs. I lived across the street from Summit, the camp. I went over there all the time. Just, they ministered to me. They blessed me. And then I got to go to Biola, where I actually graduated from. And I'm so grateful for Summit, and I'm so grateful for Biola. Summit really was, you know, you talk about being built different, and you know, we'll talk about, my wife just went through her fourth round of cancer.
Right.
I'm telling you, Summit laid the foundation of my Christian faith. It gives you the why to the what. Here's what I believe. My parents told me all these things. I think they're true. I'm not quite sure. I was 17. I wasn't thinking theologically. I don't know what household anybody thinks I grew up in. We read the Bible. We went to church. We were a great Christian family, but I wasn't like a theologian at 17. So going there and hearing there was a logical rationale for my Christian faith, that there were that if you believe the Christian faith, you can have all other belief systems and none of them will contradict.
Oh man, Ryan, you know, I love Summit Ministries. I've interviewed Jeff Myers before, and let me tell you, his ability to empower young people, as you're saying, to ask the right questions, really it's the hard questions in an intelligent manner, but then also to help them answer and defend their faith within their social circles and out in culture, it is a fantastic thing for sure.
And my parents would tell you that. I came home. This is how crazy it was. Listen, my parents are like, when I was 16, they go, oh, we have this camp we want you to go to. And I was like, awesome. I've been to camp a million times. What's it like? They literally responded with, well, it's like summer school, but you'll like it. I was like, this is embarrassing. I'm 55 years old. I'm still a little embarrassed by it. I got really bad grades. I tried. I just was so ADD and so scattered. I got bad grades. So the thought of going to summer school, I already had to go to summer school. I got bad grades. You're going to make me go again? So I show up. Oh my goodness. I know my dad wrote The Strong-Willed Child. I was the ultimate compliant child. You could look at me funny. Like the rearview mirror, I could see my dad's eyes in the rearview mirror and I knew what he was thinking. Oh, yeah. I knew, I'm going to scoot over. I'm going to stop doing what I'm, you know what I mean? You get that. So And this is how my parents got me to go when I was 17. They said, remember that camp we want you to go to? And I'm like, yeah, that one I'm not going to. And my dad goes, I got a deal for you. And I'm like, okay, what's the deal? And he goes, you know that car you drive? And I go, yeah. And he goes, if you go to camp, it'll still be here when you get home. I was like, oh.
Got it.
Yeah. I was like, yay, camp, here I go. It was that or we're selling your car the next day. That's what he said. Go to camp or we sell the car tomorrow. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll go. But it broke me a little bit. And I don't know why I'm giving a commercial for Summit, but I'm telling you, they got me back there and I started paying a little bit of attention. And it opened my eyes to a whole new world of belief and faith and purpose and meaning. This is how, okay, this is any parent listening that's like, because parents always ask me, should I force my kid to go? He doesn't want to go. And I used to say, compromise, try to do something. And I always do compromise. If you can talk your kid into going, great. If you can't totally force them, my parents did, it's fine. And by the way, if they hate it, it's only 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. They can complain about it for a long time, but it's only 2 weeks. I ran away my first night. I got caught. I had to sit in the front row every day in class. It was like summer school. I had to get up before everybody else and wash dishes like 7 mornings of the 2 weeks because of my escapade of leaving. It impacted me so much that I came home for 2 weeks and I talked 5 of my best friends into going back the same summer for another session. I went twice my first summer. I went back every single year for 35 years. Last year was the first year I didn't teach. Laura had gotten cancer, and so I bowed out of teaching. But 35 years, I've been going back. And that, again, you talk about Built Different. That was the foundation. That was the cornerstone of everything. And I keep looking over. I've got Francis Schaeffer's How Should We Then Live? It's just one of the greatest books ever written. And the video series is amazing. And being Built Different takes work.
It does.
So I was married before I met my wife, Laura. It went very, very poorly. And my ex divorced me. And I was working for a man at the time named Jim Burns. He was a real famous youth pastor. He's a great speaker. I was working for Jim Burns at the time. And he and I were talking one day, and he goes, you know, Ryan, you ever see those marriages that just, they just work? You know what I mean? Where they just flow together. They just, it naturally, the personalities, the temperaments, they just naturally flow together. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, Kathy and I don't have that. Hmm. And I was like, legitimately in that moment, it was like a faith thing. I was like, wait, what? You don't get along with your wife regularly? Like, or naturally, you're a big Christian leader. Aren't you supposed to get along with your wife all the time? Like, isn't that what we all think happens? Like,
right.
People like your dad and my dad and Jim Burns, they have perfect marriages and they never fight with their wives.
The
and
they're perfect with their children.
And what he told me, he said, because of that, Kathy and I have chosen at least once a year to do something for our marriage. We'll either go to a retreat, we'll read a book together, we'll go through a counseling session. But once a year, we do something specifically for our marriage. We go to counseling, you know, separately. We do things to enrich, you know, individually. But at least once a year, we do something to remind each other how important marriage is, how important each other is. Laura and I took that to heart. Jim Burns, I went through my divorce while working for Jim. He officiated the wedding with Laura and I.
Wow.
That's how, yeah. He's the greatest. I mean, he just invested so much in me. He was so wise. But Laura and I took that to heart. We really, really did. And I got to tell you, Zach, I started off a really bad husband and a really bad dad. I mean, and everybody's like, oh, Ryan, dude, I do this for a living. I know what bad parenting is. And I was a really bad one. I was a very afraid parent. Everything was fear-based. I was so afraid of being a bad Dobson and giving my parents a bad name and ruining focus on the family. And then those 300 million people wouldn't hear my dad. And if they didn't hear my dad, they might not hear about Jesus. And if they didn't hear about Jesus, they're all going to go to hell. And the whole world's going to go to hell. And it'll all be my fault.
Yep. Yep.
And I was so afraid of being a bad dad that I was a terrible, terrible dad. I was terrible. The bar was set too high. I was critical. I was, the fear turned into anger. Laura didn't have a voice. I mean, it was just, we stayed married our first 5 years because Laura had a lot of grace for me. But we did that. I'm telling you, Zach, every single year, Laura and I do something for our marriage. Every year. We've been, this will be our 20th year. We're going to be on June 5th. I tattooed it on my hand so I don't ever forget that. My wedding date. My wedding ring is Roman numerals of my wedding date.
There we go.
And then I got a diamond right below it for Laura. Listen, everybody talks about finances like, oh, you got to get your finances right. And I'm a massive fan of Dave Ramsey. I love Dave Ramsey. I've interviewed Dave Ramsey. I interviewed his daughter, Rachel Cruz. She's smart. She's got a great podcast. Yes. I like listening to her. My wife and I went to Financial Peace University. And what you'll hear is more than half the fights in a marriage revolve around finances. So if you can fix your finances, you're going to lose half the fights in your marriage. In 2000, when COVID hit, I lost my job. I was sitting in the parking lot having just bought, paid for three pairs of prescription eyeglasses. And I got a call from the people I was contracting with. And they were like, oh, COVID's been terrible on us. And we're canceling all contractors. I got to tell you, we were broke. There wasn't work. You couldn't get out of your house. You had to social distance. No one was doing interviews. Zoom interviews stink. No one was used to it. I mean, you're talking early COVID. All my speaking events, 5 years of speaking events, every single person called and canceled. Wow. Everyone canceled. And I understood it. I wasn't mad. I mean, I was disappointed, but they would call and they'd be so embarrassed. And I'd be like, oh, no, this is okay. I totally understand. I totally understand. I don't like it. I'm losing my whole income. I didn't tell anybody that, but I completely understood. But here's the thing. You can be totally broke as a joke. Like, we were late on bills. We were using assistance. Like, for real broke. But if your marriage is good and you've got a good relationship with your kids, if you've got children, it really doesn't matter that much. Like, it's stress. It's stressful. It was stressful. It's nothing like having a bad marriage. Right. It's nothing like having a bad marriage.
Ryan, we pray for you and Laura, but I know that God has got this. And I remember what you said in your film series. You said in challenging the men to be leaders in their homes, are you fighting for your family? Right? Are you fighting for your wife? And does your wife even know that you're fighting for her? Well, my friend, you've been in the fight. And I think your family knows that you're fighting for them as well.
If you don't invest in your marriage and 20 years in, you hit your fourth round of cancer, I don't know, man.
Yeah, there has to be a level of foundation, right, that's been built. And what I appreciate about what you've mentioned, just in sharing your testimony, what it was like, growing up Dobson, is this idea. We've had, Dr. Jeff Myers, and we've had Summit Ministries represented on the show. We've had Sean McDowell and Biola, different influential places in your life. And then I just think about, the pressure and expectation that comes with, like you said, when things are going bad, when things are really rough, having somebody like a dad in your life that is influential, that carries this kind of persona about him, and the expectation that you have to, try to fit in or be more like him or, live up to or fulfill the shoes of someone. That's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of expectation, Ryan. But for you, God placed a special calling on your life. Hey, Ryan, I know we're fighting the clock. We're going to have to stop our conversation today right there, but would you be willing to come back tomorrow and join us again for a part two?
Oh, absolutely. I would be honored to come back. Thank you so much. Definitely.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.